radio system every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. local time. And the purpose of this event is to provide a general discussion forum to all those who are interested in different aspects of the radio monitoring hobby. So we cover all the frequencies that you can tune into, from DC all the way up to light and everything else in between, except for amateur radio, because we can talk about that topic at any other time during the week. So we talk about who's on these different frequencies, what equipment you would need to use to pull in the signals, and how to figure out what they're talking about when you do actually receive them. What changes coming along as far as new technologies and new laws and allocations. Anything to help them make the hobby a little bit more enjoyable. There's basic ground rules for this event. One, this is a linked repeater system. Approximately a dozen repeaters tied together in the tri-state area. To find the list of all the repeaters, you need to go to www.n2row.net, find the repeater closest to where you are, and use that one to get into the system. And because it is a linked system, when you tee up, please tee up and pause for a second or two before you start talking, otherwise the beginning of your transmission will get cut off. It takes a while for the links to all settle into place. For those who are checking in on the air, you're asked to give your call sign, name, and location, and please have any traffic for the net. And by traffic, we mean any comments or questions that you'd like to share with everyone else. If you don't have any traffic, we say no traffic as you're checking in. This way we know to go to the next person on the list. For those who are unable to check in on the air, either because of distance, technical difficulties, or you may not have your amateur radio license yet, still participate by going to our email. Our email address for this net is nyvxa@yahoo.com. Please space it out so we can get everybody checked in. This is N20B.
This is K2GLW, Gordon in Manhattan. No traffic, but just an advisory that the Manhattan 440 link on N2ROW is down. They lost their antenna, so I'm hitting you on the Bronx repeater, but the Manhattan 440 repeater is down, or link is down.
Okay, thank you for the Gordon. All right, so 449025, don't use that machine right now. Use any of the other ones. Okay, go up.
N2NOV.
No traffic.
November 2, Sierra Charlie Romeo Jim in Aberdeen, Jersey, with no traffic.
This and 1MLZ, Bob in Milford, Connecticut. Good evening, no traffic.
N2NLV. This is November 2, November Hotel Mike, Joe and Garfield. Good evening, Charlie, in the net, no traffic, over.
NOV.
P2QNI, Mike, Manhattan Beach, Brooklyn, no traffic.
Okay, so far I have WB2KTV, W2GOD, K2GLW, N2SVR, N1NLZ, N2NHM, and the last station all I had was 2QNI in Brooklyn, what was the prefix?
Okay, N2NLZ, call is Kilo Charlie 2, Quebec, November, India, Mike, Manhattan Beach, Brooklyn, portable.
Okay, Mike, got the whole thing this time. Any traffic?
Traffic this evening.
Okay, you're cutting off again. You gotta pause a little bit longer because of the link system.
Okay, we have no traffic this evening. Now we got this little portable, so it's a little bit hard to hit the repeater.
Okay. Alright, no traffic. You're hitting it fine. It's just a matter of that slight pause after you key up. Because we're probably on two different repeaters. The one that you're going in on and the one I'm listening to. So, the beginning part takes that off. Okay, anybody else? Okay, we'll take the list as we have it now and take a positional check-in later on. Bob is traveling out west right now. I believe he's in Las Vegas. So it's going to be a little difficult for him to check in on the net. So I know he's listening on the internet by a streaming signal from somebody's scanner. So say hi to Bob in his hotel room listening, I'll bet. Let's see. As far as traffic tonight, Steve, why don't we go first with you, and I've got a few things that came in via email. So, WB2KTV, that's one of them.
Sammy Charlie and everybody on the net, Ed Sereno via the group from WB2KTV. I am here to proudly announce the release of a new piece of software that I had absolutely nothing to do with. But for all you software enthusiasts who like to try new things for your Bearcat scanners, the official release of BC Tool, that's Bravo, Charlie, Tango, Oscar, Oscar, Lima, BC Tool for control of any of the newer Bearcat scanners, the 996 and 396 being first and foremost, and I think he goes all the way back to the 246, full handheld. Version 1.2, release 1, was just put out this week, and they just went to version 1.0 public release last week, so it's hot off the presses, and you can find it at www.bctool.org. The gentleman who is responsible, his name is Rob Parker, P-A-R-K-E-R, first name Rob. And all the development team seems to be across the pond. If you look at the credits in the program, they're all G2s and G3s, which, for those of you who are in ham, those are all call signs in the UK, probably England. And that's it. It's a pretty good piece of software. It seems to do everything that the higher-priced Brand B software, shall we say. If those of you know what I'm talking about, I don't want to mention anybody else's name on the radio. But the other Brand B software and this software are going to be in good competition and good company. This one is now free at the moment. I hope it stays free. It works very nicely with adaptive software and hardware, for those of you who use such things. And the author is very amenable to bug reports, suggestions, anything you want. Oh, and there's also a Yahoo group for the development of this thing, bctool-subscribe, at yahoogroups.com will get you an invite or return from you that you just replied to, and you're in. That's your NLV, WB2KTV.
My name is Edward Quirk.
Yeah, MLZ, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not getting nothing on that website. Maybe I have the address wrong here. Is it Bravo Charlie Tango Oscar Lima Sierra? Like tools, like your toolbox type thing. BC Tools, is that it, .org?
That's
your
number. And one MLZ, thank you. No F required. Single BC tool. Bravo Charlie Tango Oscar Lima dot Oscar Romeo Golf.
All right, that'll make all the difference in the world. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Back to you there, Charlie. Thank you very much.
Okay, Bob, I was going to ask him the same question because I wasn't finding it. Okay, bctool.org, and the supported scanners are the European version of the UBC3500XLT, the BR330, the BCD396, the BCT15, the BCD996, the SC230, and the BC246. And the software is totally freeware, but donations are always welcome. And they have a link on there for PayPal. Looks interesting. I like the screenshots on this. You know, looks simple, but quite functional. I like the way they're laying out the folders and check boxes in the field. So this looks like they did something good with this one. Okay, now my next step is to get one of the scanners that handles this dynamic memory allocation. So, I don't know, I'll probably get 996 at some point. Anyway, thanks for bringing that, Steve. And, you know, run it through his paces. I know you're itching to go through the whole thing. So I'll let you do that and report back when you hit different things. Also want to recognize Joe from Wellington is also checking in by email. And he's working on getting his license. Need help, Joe? We have the study guides on our New York City ARICS webpage. I teach classes there. Anyway, one of the emails that I got recently actually came in this morning, and it regards the 700 megahertz auction. Now, what the FCC is doing is that they're having rounds of closed bidding, and they're hoping that at some point they'll get enough money that they'll be satisfied with the bidding. Well, it turns out they're hoping for $10 billion, and they have yet to even get close to that. According to this, after 12 rounds of bidding over 4 days, the FCC still has received only one bid for a portion of the 700 megahertz airwave known as the D-block that could also be used for police, fire, and other public safety officials. What's holding back on that particular block of frequencies is that the FCC wants whoever wins the bid to build out a nationwide system that will also give priority to first responders. In other words, you know, come and build out a network at your expense, and then you've got to give these guys priority. So a lot of companies are balking at that. Besides, between credit crunch problems now and the economy being a little shaky, they're will skinch you about putting up money. So far, they only have one bid for that D-block spectrum, $472 million. That's it. And it came in the first round last Thursday, which is far below the $1.3 billion that they hope to get just for that block of frequency. If the FCC decides that there's no bidder that meets the minimum price for the block, they can re-auction that piece separately and possibly modify the requirements on how it's going to be used and paid for and all that. But then Congress, being as greedy as they are licking their chops, hoping to get lots of money from this to bail them out for their bad policies. And if it does go back into a rebidding process, they want to have a hands-on and very tight oversight of the process, according to this article. It says here the companies qualified to bid include major carriers AT&T and Verizon, and possibly new competitors like internet company Google, EchoStar Communications, which owns Dish Network, and Cablevision. So this can go on for a while. There are other blocks that are up for auction as well. There's a C block, which is supposed to be open to any device and any software application. They're looking for $4.7 billion minimum on that block. So far they got $3.78 as of Tuesday. And they have two other blocks designated A and B, which are local area, not nationwide. And a block called E, which is supposed to be less useful because it's limited to one-way data transmission, not two-way. So this is what's going to happen to the UHF television channels 52 through 69 if they ever get their act together. But first things first, we have to switch over to digital television, which will be next President's Day, President's Day 2009. Okay, checking the email again, that's all I've gotten in so far. I did send out a quick blast of the list that if you have ever missed a past message that came to the mailing list for NYDXA, I provided the link to the archives list, which goes back for several years. So you can hunt it there to look for things that you may have missed in the past. If you have not been getting emails from the mailing list lately, and there were a bunch sent through the month of January, then it's possible that your email provider either has set up a spam filter of some type or is bouncing. Now, our email server for this mailing list, if it receives three bounces, it will lock your entry. So if you're not getting any emails from the NYDXA list, that's the last one before tonight was January 28th, only a couple days ago, then drop us an email and we'll go in and unlock it. Now, you could be bouncing, maybe there's something going on with your account, or the provider has got some hiccups on that server, or your mailbox may be full, so you need to check that out first. You have mentioned that you looked at the list of frequencies for the VHF Maritime, and you wonder what AIS is. Well, AIS is sort of like those in the amateur radio world know something called TAPRS, the Amateur Packet Reporting System, which takes GPS data of your current location, sticks your call sign on it, and sends it out. So everybody else listening on the frequency can plot that packet that they get in, the packet of data, on a map, and they can see you move around. Well, the same thing is available for planes, and that's the 1 gig frequency modem that Mark, NI2O, was talking about last year. And the one for ships is called AIS. And instead of a call sign, they have a serial number which is registered with the Coast Guard and the FCC for each vessel. And there may be additional information from the database which says the name of the vessel, where it's moored, who owns it, the size of it. So what some people have been doing is getting the program, and one of the more popular ones out there is called Ship Plotter, S-H-I-P Plotter, which is a software that comes from England. And by listening to a scanner with a slightly wider baseband data. If you have baseband output on your scanner, you just pull it in there. Trying to get it from the earphone jack is going to be really rough because the data rate is too wide for normal audio channels. But once you get the right bandwidth of data, you shove it into the computer, and you can bring up a map and plot the ship. So you can get a map of showing New York Harbor or around Hawaii or the big tankers that are going across the ocean. And you can click on the individual one and see the information for it. Latitude, longitude, the speed, how many knots it's going. So for people who are interested in following maritime traffic, that's something they can go for. One of the nice features of the ship plotter program is that you can share the data that you're picking up with other ship plotter program owners around the world by going through the ship plotter central servers. So you're constantly dumping your information in of what you're receiving, and the other people are doing the same thing. So you can bring up a map and see something from around the world. So it's like a community thing. People get to share the information. So if you're interested in something like that, we can certainly forward the information to you. The website, if you want to check it out, is www.coaa.co.uk/shipplotter.htm. The demo is a free download. Try it out, register it, and this way you can get a little fun with that. Okay, it's 9:24. Let's stand by for any additional check-ins and also for any additional emails. Again, the email address of this net is nycxa@yahoo.com. This is N210B.
N2CUA.
W-A-2-I-W-C.
Okay, first station I heard, I just heard the CUE, so I'm assuming that's KC2CUE, am I correct? And you're in traffic?
Yeah, let me switch over to the big radio here. Okay, N2CUE is the call. Yes, I do have traffic, all right? Have a question.
Okay, November 2CUE, okay. And the other station, WA2, was at IAW. The audio was a little weak.
Whiskey Alpha 2, India Whiskey Charlie, John in Manhattan.
Okay, John, IWC. Any traffic tonight? Just listening in.
Yeah, I've got traffic.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Let's see. N2CUE. Go ahead. That's what I'll be.
Good to enter, and I'll be N2CUE. Name here is Mandy. Transit, you said something about maritime traffic. I was discussing with a friend of mine about the ESET package. And my main question is where would you weather factors? And, you know, more or less, what does that sound like? And the second part to that question is, you know, what would you could recommend, like, a good freeware program that would do weather facts? So that way, you know, I can, you know, see what's being transmitted and things of that nature. Alpha stage that the band opens up.
Maritime region.
No, I can hear traffic pretty far out in Canada. So, I'm just wondering about the weather thing.
Okay, you're talking about the HF weather facts that the Coast Guard puts out?
No, HF weather facts, HF.
Okay, the HF weather facts stuff, there are several programs out there.
Oh, boy.
I know one that I use specifically for monitoring some of their transmissions, both facts and text-wise, is something called C-S-E-A-T-T-Y. There's the MM series from the guy in Japan that's supposed to be pretty good. There's a package called MMSSTV, but there's another package he puts out that does all the different modes for data and fact and health trials and those things. Maybe you want to check on that. I don't know if we ever sent out the list of different ones, but do a Google search. Try the MMSSTV and go to that webpage, and there'll be a link for their multimode stuff. I think that would be your best bet right now.
Okay. Okay, you said MM, Mike Sierra? Okay, you said the Mike Sierra program?
Yeah, go to Google and do a search for Mike Sierra, Sierra, Tango, Victor. Okay, MM is from the Japanese guy's call sign. And SSTV, closed cam television. He writes several different programs. Go to the website for the closed cam television and you'll see a link there for his other software for the multimode stuff.
Okay, fantastic. Now, does that give like a listing of active usable frequencies, I guess?
No, but your best bet is to go to the Coast Guard website and they have a list of all their transmissions that they're putting out there. As far as weather facts are concerned for the rest of the world, I'd have to research that. I have a book here, but it's about a 10-year-old book. Some of the stuff is still, most of the stuff is still active, but, to go through and just type out everything from the book is kind of crazy. There's several hundred pages in here of just HF utility frequencies.
Okay, actually, I have the postcard page saved in the PDF. So, okay, not a problem. Very good there, because I'm actually going to try this out. And he was, for the regular postcard, that's not really an issue, but the HF is going to be on it. Okay, very good there. Thank you. I'll be back at the event. Still on a week.
Okay, let us know how you make out, and if you need more information, I'll try to pull this stuff together for you. Okay, next one up is W2IWC. That's her, and welcome to that, and one of it.
Very good, Charlie. Great net. You're really a wealth of information, I must say. Name is Don, Delta Oscar November, and I'm in Midtown Manhattan. And I have two questions. One is, I have a Bearcat BC780XLC, the original trunking scanner, I guess, that Bearcat came out. Well, no, I wouldn't Maybe the first one, I don't know. Anyway, it's a BC-780XLT in excellent shape. I wonder what... Is there still a market for those? Can I get anything for it if I wanted to sell it? What do you, you know, what do they usually go for? And the second question was regarding the software that Steve KTV brought up, the BC Tool software. Is that just for control of the scanner, or does it save the memories and the settings and lockouts and all of that kind of stuff to a file as well, so you can reload them to the scanner if necessary, or is it a simple scanner control program? There used to be another one like that years ago that didn't save anything. It was just a way to remotely talk to your scanner and read the display. I'm wondering if this mirrors that, or if this is more like the Butel stuff or something where you can upload and download frequency sets, et cetera, et cetera. Back to you, Charlie. WHYWC.
Okay, Doc. Well, I'll answer that in reverse order. From what I'm seeing on the website, it also allows you to upload the information to the scanner as well. Unfortunately, it is not backwards compatible to models like the 780. It's only made for those that have the dynamic memory. You know, the ones that don't have fixed number channels per bank. Which isn't, you know, bad. It's an intelligent way of programming your scanner, and I wish they did this years ago. But, you know, it's a relatively new thing, so they developed the software that only handles those types of scanners. As far as market for the 780, that was the first trunking base unit.
Was it?
No, it was the one before that. But the first one that has three different modes, Motorola, EDAX, and LTR. In fact, that's one I use mostly here, which I have to improve. I mean, to get the Avgo 25 stuff, I've been relying on my Bearcat 250 handheld for that. So it's time to upgrade things here. But as far as the market's concerned, that's tough to put a dollar figure on there. You could look at eBay and see what recent ones are sold for, or go to the for sale area of radioreference.com and see what people are asking for theirs, you know, currently and in the past. The thing is that the scanner as it is now, while it's true it does not do digital, okay, how many things are actually running digital that you want to listen to? That's one thing you got to think about. Two, are we ready to go into rebanding yet? Some are saying they want to do this within the year. Some say they're not ready. Of course, Sprint and Xcel is dragging their feet because they have to put the bill for this whole thing. But until that happens, the 780 is still good. Once they do reband, that each frequency, the 800 megahertz spectrum, is going to get a different hex coding tag for each of those frequencies for Motorola systems. And it's the only one that gets affected. EDAX, in programming it, uses logical channel number order. It doesn't care what you call the frequency. It just says, I want to go to channel 3. And if channel 3 is this particular frequency, it better be in the third spot in the scanner. And LPR is the same way. So it depends on how much change you expect to happen and what you listen to.
Well, of course, in New York City here, there's still so much that's not digital that I think it's a decent scanner to have. But it would seem like the newer scanners, like the 996, the 396, et cetera, are firmware upgradable. So I would think with any of the scenarios you presented for the future, they'd still be a viable scanner for quite a while, because the only thing that's going to possibly, I would think, cause them to be outdated is new modes of transmission that they're just not able, that they don't have the hardware to deal with. Wouldn't you say so? And I guess my last question is, have you looked into the newest ones on the market, the new GRE 500 and 600? What do they seem to have to offer it for the future that the 996, for example, doesn't?
Well, as far as the comparison of the Grove catalog, the Grove 2008 catalog, while the new GRE scanners do have a couple of interesting features to them, they hold less channels. They hold less frequencies than the Bearcat scanners. If I remember correctly, if I can find the page, I remember a figure of something like 1,800 frequencies. When you go to the UNINET, then you can throw in 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 different frequencies in there in various banks and folders. I'm looking, let me see, page 19 of the Grove 2008 catalog. Also, does cover television audio. Well, who cares about that now? Once we go to digital, nobody will be able to listen to television audio. So that shouldn't matter in the thing, in the whole scheme of decision making. Talking about having a model that's good for future changes, well, look at things like MACOM, the type of IP over the airwaves that they have. What about EDAX Pro Voice Digital? That's not licensed for use in the scanner yet. Kenwood has a type of digital transmission mode which are now available in their business model radios for VHF and UHF, which is fashioned along the lines of the Tetra trunking system and digital transmission. That's not available for scanners yet either. So this is always going to be a cat and mouse game.
Oh well, I guess you got a good point. Well, I guess, truthfully, if I sold my 780, probably wouldn't buy a new scanner at this point. I might. If I did, it'd probably be the 996. But, who knows? In 3 years, I might say, well, why did I do that? But on the other hand, the Bearcat has lasted me a long, long time. And, sorry about that. New York City is certainly not about to switch where all the services go digital in one fell swoop. I tend to doubt it. And my main interest is local police and fire, and they're both far from digital at this point. Well, thank you. I don't want to hog the net. I really appreciate your thoughts and your info. Wonderful, wonderful net, Charlie. Back to you, and I'll turn it back to Ned. Thank you very much, W-H-Y-W-C.
Okay, Don. Well, as far as police and fire are concerned, their dispatch operations at this point look like they're going to stay analog anyway. And when they finish their UHF trunking and conventional system, the 482s, fire department's going to be up on UHF as well. And that trunking system is going to bring some of the first responder stuff down there as well from the 100 Hewitt system, as well as other city agencies to have their executives and interoperability people on the same system. So the trunking system, the DeWitt UHF trunking system, is supposed to have the capability to APCO 25 digital. So something to think about. If you're into military aircraft listening, you can relegate the Bearcat 780 to military aircraft, especially with the Alpha tags. There's tons of stuff up there, but the channels are normally dead quiet until there's some activity, and then something will pop. It could be an air-to-air refueling tanker. It could be jet planes coming out of Atlantic City, the New Jersey Air National Guard, 107th Fighter Wing. You've got Otis Air Force Base, Hascom. There's tons of things all around the place. But most of the time, they're quiet. And when planes are up as high as they are, you can pick up their signals 200, 300 miles away. I know that N1MLZ, Bob up there in Connecticut, heard some stuff. And also on the maritime frequency. So if you do upgrade to a more modern scanner, don't sell your 780. Put that on a disc-owned antenna and let it sit there and listen for a military aircraft. You get out to take each channel and you know what's going on by the display that comes up.
Well, I've never been much into military aircraft for the most part, but these days, the way the world is changing, I can't say that's not a good idea.
Well, as far as, I use scan control to program my handheld in the 780. And I have a file set aside with a whole bunch of military aircraft frequencies. So when I get the hang report, I just upload them into the scanner, listen to that for a while. When I'm done listening, I'll put it in my regular setup. But just something to think about if you do go in that direction. Okay. It's 9:44. Is there anybody else additional information, questions, check-ins? And I see another Joe checking in on email tonight. Okay, Joe from Westchester. Checking in on his BlackBerry. Gee, getting all the technologies involved here. Okay, anyone else? This next one will be with the shortwave scanner listeners set.
NTUMC.
NTUMC. Hey, Frank. Any traffic tonight?
Ironically, yes. Since I'm still without internet for the next 10 days, even if it's just a place to start looking when I get to work tomorrow. Madison Square Garden, anything nice and easy that I can just plug in quick? I'm heading up there Friday.
You mean as far as their internal operations?
Yeah, that would be the gist of it. It's for an odd type of event. It's not the regular sports team evening. So that's where I would start my search. Like I said, hopefully it won't take more than a lunch hour, but if it does, oh well. Since I really can't, like I said, do any internet surfing in my present condition.
To explain things, Frank is waiting for the Fios guy to show up at his new location. Let's see. Thought I had a list. Let me find it. It should be under the sports scanning group on the message board. Here we go. Madison Square Garden. tell them the 460, Frank. If you got a pen, I can read them off.
Yeah, I can take a couple to start with, and Fios, that's 20 over 20, folks. Well, I'm a nut job.
Yeah, it's one of those online gamers. Okay, Madison Square Garden Operations, 464.675. And if you have a scanner that does DPL, I'll give you those as well. That's what they use over there. They're using a DPL of 466. Their security is on 464.825. Same DPL of 466. They've got a catering channel, electrical channel, and two others that I don't know what they use for. You want all of them, or is that enough?
What was the operations one?
The operations is 464.675.
Thanks, sorry.
Security should cover basically what I'm looking for. Like I said, it's not a regular sporting event. Something called the Mill Road Games. My lady's into track and field, and I don't know. Hopefully, I won't fall asleep.
All right. Well, operations security should be, you know, good enough for basics for you. I don't think you want the catering channel or the electrical crew.
I wanted catering. I could walk to the concession stand myself.
Okay, when is this? Friday you're doing this?
Yeah, Friday evening. They got a running event. Starting at 10 o'clock at night, I have no clue.
Wow. I'm not even going to ask. 10 o'clock at night, when you're starting. Oh, boy. It must be night hours. Okay. Yeah, if you want, also, you're in, the Midtown South precinct area, so, yeah, 476-5875. You got that for the outside stuff.
Seven 5 and 825 should be plenty. And I gotta take something in there. I don't want, like I said, I have no clue what's gonna happen, but Friday evening track and field events, see what you're forced to do when you have no internet. What a world.
See, sounds like you're having withdrawal symptoms. Well, they don't show up soon enough. Okay. All right, anybody have anything else? Otherwise, we'll wrap it up. This is N210B. Okay, hearing nothing, we'll wrap it up tonight. Again, if you have not been getting emails from the list, for those who have internet connection, drop me a message at nydxa@yahoo.com, and I will reopen your email address. Probably got locked out because of something. All right, we'll catch you here next week, 7-3 to all. Have a good one, and stay warm. Play with the radio for a while. That's
going to
be clear.
That's going to be a double agent station here with a final question.
ATV, you guys safe.
Belgian Way for the link to drop. I'm curious about this military aircraft test as well. I went to my primary resource for information, that of course being N210B.net, and didn't find it.
There's a bunch of links. If you go down in the miscellaneous area, there is a heading that says military frequencies. And the New Jersey Mil Air website has some great stuff for this area.
Would you believe that's the only one that I didn't check? I looked at the HF one, I looked at the monitoring time one. That's the only one. Oh, man. Why does it always happen to me? And to what over the WD2KTV, I'll see you next week.
Yeah, they got, let's see, some SAC frequencies, NORAD, VHF and UHF, 108th Squadron, 177th Fighter Squadron out of Atlantic City, tons of stuff from McGuire. Yeah, you'll find some things to listen to here. Lakehurst Naval Air Station. Yeah, just plug them in.
A quick frequency that's active, and one MLZ.
Sorry, what was that, Bob?
I had a quick frequency that was active just a few minutes ago, if you want it.
Sure.
Yeah, 139, 139.875, 139.875. AM mode, of course, a lot of refueling tonight on that frequency. Probably at least an hour. tanker from McGuire refueling Atlantic City F-16s and quite a few practice operations there. Oh, just about from about 7 o'clock up to Met time. I was listening to it 7:30. So quite a good frequency tonight. 139.875. I'm not sure if they've done or not, but I haven't listened to it since the Met started. But you might want to pop that one in there. That other gentleman there.
Yeah, that's the interplane frequency for the KC-10. They have a second frequency on 143.825 and a third frequency at 139.300.
Ah, very good, Charlie. Okay, excellent. Yeah, good stuff there.
YWC with one last bit. I know you want to get out of here.
Sure, what's up, Doc?
454, sorry about that. 454. The 464, I believe you said 725 was operation. There's a what appears to be a cab company on there. That's a repeater with a conventional PL. And I'm in Midtown Manhattan here on the west side in the 50s. And let me tell you, they are pinning the meter. I would be surprised that they wouldn't cause interference to Madison Square Garden unless it's an incredible image, but I don't think so.
Now operations on 464-675. And security is on 464-825.
Okay, my apologies. I'm awfully sorry. The old brain is exhausted tonight. I've been up since early this morning. Put in a 10-hour day, and I'm 464-675. All right, I'll check that out then. I'm glad to hear it, because I'll tell you, this guy would certainly give them a run for their money. Thanks a lot, Charlie, WHYWC.
Okay. Chances are, though, they're using the frequencies at the garden in simplex or a low-power repeater. So I wouldn't expect somebody in Nassau County to be able to hear it. So you, though, in Midtown should have no problem.
Yeah, I'm only a mile away from them, if that. I'm in the mid 50 on 56th Street between 8th and 9th Avenue. So I'm really not far. The only thing is my antenna is on the north side of the building, but that's all right.
Okay.
understand. You should have no problem, Colin.
Oh, by the way,
update your FMC record.
Yeah, Roger. One of these days I'll actually do that. Get the right address in there. It's been a mess. The email is correct, however.
Well, you know, you can go into the website and just change it yourself.
No, actually, I did try to do that on QRZ, and I could not, and I don't remember the reason. It was some kind of security thing, and I don't remember what it was. It might have had to do with CAPTCHA, but I'm not sure. And I'm blind, so when they put up the CAPTCHA graphic, I'm out of luck.
Well, as long as you have an FRN, you're registered with them, you're able to just go directly to the FCC site and do it there. If you're doing it to anybody else, they're probably going to charge you anyway.
Yeah, Roger. And in fact, they do charge. I mean, it's a minimal fee. It's $5 or something like that. But, yeah, maybe I'll check out doing it right on the FCC records. I didn't think I thought you had to petition them to do it, but I guess that's a good point, so I should do that.
Yeah, I've updated my records several times. Yeah, I first got it set up, what was it, 2002, something like that. And then I moved and update things, and then we did renewals, and I've got several licenses. So it was just easy to go in there, make one change, and all change in one shot.
Wow, that's really cool. They've actually they've finally gotten quite sophisticated. I will have to check that out. Thanks for the info.
Okay, I'll let you guys go, and I'm going to sip what's left of my tea. Good thing I brought it down here in the basement. It's insulated top. It's still warm. All right, 7-3, guys. Talk to you later. I'll have the radio on in the background, and it's going to be up.